Blog Talk Radio.
Already. Amen. Praise God. We thank and praise our God this morning. Amen. That we just live in harmony. Praise God. Will we just stand up for joy? Will we just stand up for happiness? Will we just stand up for humility? Will we stand up for freedom? Will we stand up for love? If I stand up for you, will you stand up for me? Come on, people of God. Oh, my God. I thank and praise our God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless and praise God this morning. This is Reign of Glory Revival Ministry. Amen. You are on the air with Apostle Carolyn McNeil this morning. Glory to God. This is our Sunday morning service. Amen. Glory to your name. We are on the third church, y'all. Oh, my God. I'm just excited how God is moving in the midst of us. Amen. This message is for our time. Amen. Praise God. We are in the church of Pergamos this morning. Amen. Glory to God. And it's the compromising church. Amen. The church that compromises. As I was speaking, amen, to Pastor Matthew McNeil, this morning, I said, oh, my God, this was a hard one. Amen. Praise God. Because it's so much that you have to tie in. Glory to God, just to fit it in an hour, amen. It's a whole teaching for this church, amen, praise God. So I'm going to try to bring it together as the Holy Spirit leads me this morning. Get excited, y'all, for what the Lord is doing. Glory to his name. Let us pray, and welcome the main guest, amen, the Holy Spirit, in to this service this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you glory, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just come this morning blessing your holy name, thanking you for waking us up. Thank you, glory, my son, the yes, Holy Ghost. Glory to God that you're going to have your way this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. As I study, Father, my God, I give the glory. I ask that you send your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. Glory to God. Only that comes from heaven, Father God. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit, God, this morning, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I ask right now, Father God, that we will open up our hearts, open up our minds, bring in our thoughts, God, to the power of the Holy Spirit, God, on today to receive your word, Father God. We bless you, God. Bless everyone that's represented here, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, glory to God, for a big blessing for them, Lord God. Mosando, Holy Ghost, for their homes and for a personal for themselves, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Anyone under the sound of my voice, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we lift you up. These things I pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Let us get to the word, people of God. Let us go, amen, praise God, to Revelation, starting at verse number 12, amen. Amen. And I think I'm going to end at verse number 17. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The word of God. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things say he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works, he says, and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, he said, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. He said, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. My God, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Here, now, as we already read our scripture, the letter to the church of Pergamos, the book of Revelation, there's a letter by the Lord Jesus written to the seven churches. They were actual historical churches, churches that really did exist. These messages were directly given to those specific churches because of the very specific issues at hand. However, these letters transcends to those churches and as do the letters of the New Testament, which are typically written to the churches or individuals, and also transcends to the churches and individuals. We all have the applications of the Bible. These letters likewise describe not only a single church but in history, but a kind of church that exists through all history of the churches. So they are very instructive just for us as well. As we look at the third letter to the church of Pergamos, glory to God, we meet a church engaged in compromise. The first letter, you remember, was written to Ephesus, the church that left their first love. The next one to check, oh my God, the second letter was written to Smyrna, the persecuted church, the crushed church, and this letter was written to the compromising church. This church is beginning to link and separately to the world. They're coming and they're marrying the world. And this church has decided that it can maintain some kind of Christian credibility and also associate itself with the sins of the past. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. They was Christian, but they you know how God delivers us from something, and we go back to what he delivered us from. This is what's going on with the church at Pergamos. It's a picture of any church that courts the world. You know, back in the day, they said, glory to God, are you going to court me? Glory to God. You know, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They courted the world. Amen. They went with the world. Any church that marries paganism in any form, glory to God, the church of Pergamos is a picture of any believer, any Christian who wears the world. It's like just marrying the world. Glory to God. And we shall see as we go through this letter, we know that, glory to God, they all have pretty much the same components. And we'll run through those components by doing the letter. Let us unfold together this morning. Let us unfold, glory to God, what God is saying to us, how we can get back into something that we came out of. Come on, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. My God, I give him glory. It's pretty much the same components. We all have things that we deal with, but here, to the angel or to the leader, the messenger, the one who will take this letter back to the church of Pergamos, probably one of the pastors or to the messenger of the church of Pergamos. He said, write, and that is, of course, the Lord Jesus telling John to write, telling John, amen, praise God, on the out of Patmos, John is writing, he's penning, glory to God, these letters. John is the penman. He is the one who picks up the quill, meaning the pen, amen, as it were. It puts the words that Jesus gives him. He says, write this. The one who has this two-edged sword, amen, praise God, the sharp two-edged sword says this. And this author is identified as the one who has the two-edged sword. He knows that is, glory to God, from chapter 1, amen, verse 16. Because back in chapter 1, you have the vision of Jesus Christ. Jesus is described, glory to God, of having in his right hand the seven stars, which we know today is the seven leaders of those churches. And noted that, glory to God, in the same text, and out of his mouth, it says, came a sharp two-edged sword. So the Lord is described as holding the leadership of the church in his hand. And out of his mouth is coming the sharp two-edged sword. Now, when you go over to chapter 2 and 12, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword, then he is the author. And in this case, you will notice that the scripture of Christ that is selected is which we know we articulate today is his judicial authority. We see him as judge. Come on, somebody. We see him as judge. We see him as the executioner. Glory to God. What is that? Is this sword coming out of his mouth? The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 4 and 12 says, it as well as any. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper, come on, sharper, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, than any what? Two-edged sword. That is the word of God coming out of his mouth that is like a two-edged sword. Glory to God. It is a double-edged sword to speak, glory to God, to us today. Judging the moving fast from side to side. And glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. I say thank you, Lord. We thank God this morning because he's moving fast. He's wrecking havoc, amen, as it moves. It's an instrument of judgment falling on those are deserving of that judgment. Glory to God. In Revelation 19, we see the same, glory to God, in verse 15. Jesus Christ in his return is described here as having opened. In verse 11, a white horse, the one on it is faithful and true. He comes in judgment and making war. His eyes are like flames of fire and so forth. And in verse 15, and from his mouth comes the sharp sword. And here it tells you what it's for, so that with it, glory to God, he may smite the nation. It is a sword of judgment. The sword of judgment, the two-edged character simply means it moves fast and rapidly. Glory to God. In both directions, it cuts everywhere that it turns. The introduction to Christ then in this letter is not a happy one. Is not a promising one. He's talking to this church. Glory to God. It's not a happy letter. Glory to God. It's not a promising one. It is a threatening one. Glory to God. That's why this one, praise God, it kind of like drew me in a little more to see more what was going on in this church. Amen. Praise God. And when he introduced himself to the church at Smyrna in verse 8, he said, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life. That's encouragement because some of them were dying for faith in Christ. And he was writing them, glory to God, as the one who was resurrected, who had conquered death for himself and for them. In this letter to the church of Ephesus, he introduced himself simply as the one who holds the seven letters in his hands and move among the churches, which it represents by the golden lampstand, not threatening all. Glory to God. Speaking about his control and his care and his concern as he moves through his churches and his protection over his leader. That's why I tell people, be careful what you do to his leaders. My God, careful because the blessings of the Lord, glory to God, are on his leader. He has handpicked his leader. Glory to God. That's why he said, do my prophets no harm. Glory to God. Do my anointed no harm. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Here is the first negative in adoption because this is the church that is facing judgment. Can you imagine a church that's facing judgment? This introduction of Christ is the right introduction for the church at Pergamos. The church at Pergamos was in serious danger, and that danger was going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who holds the sword. This particular sword is the sword of judgment that is used to cut down those who disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, the fear of the Lord has to come back to the church. It is clear from the very letter which, well, we'll study tonight. We'll go, glory to God, through, because I was studying, glory to God, that Pergamos was compromised. Pergamos was obviously a church made of a Gentile primarily who had been converted out of paganism. They was converted. They had no doubt been converted to Christ, and there was some great transformation, but times have changed. They have now going back and pick up some of their pagan habits. They have married the world. Have you ever find people that was on fire for God? My God, I say thank you, Jesus. But then they go back to what they used to. God, they married the world. And so God, the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, got angry with them. They had married the world, as it were, and are in danger of judgment of the Lord, of the church. Amen. Disaster is looming on the horizon. If you look back at what happened in history of the church, you can understand this kind of thing. If you look at the history of Christianity, glory to God, we'll see the churches that became worldly and what happened to them. You look, for example, at a time period, amen, praise God, it's a time, amen, of the Roman Empire, glory to God, under the direction of Constantine. And I'm just giving you some background before we get all into what God is speaking. Now, the direction of Constantine to those early churches, the church married the world. Heathen priests became Christian priests. Heathen temples became Christian churches. All the children were required to be Christian. They were therefore supposed to be made Christian by putting a little water on their head. Heathen days of feastings and drunkenness were made in the glory to God into Christian and Christianity. God lost in all of this and were merely a mass state of religion. Just religion. And that is perhaps the most dominant period in the church history where Pergamos mentality was evident. But if we ever were in such time, we are in such a time again today. The church, of course, has become worldly, glory to God. So we have to be careful of the pastors that bring the world into the church. And as I was speaking earlier, my God, I say thank you, Jesus. They have turned the church's pulpit into stages. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. You find the lights flashing, and glory to God, the dark church, they turn the lights off. And what, God is a God of light. I glory to God. If I could just say, God is a God of light. Jesus is of light. He loves light. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. They became worldly, liberal, or dead church, as we would perhaps what we call it today. And those who departed from the true faith and all around them, those denominations have, for the most part, died in terms of their spiritual life and the lives of, glory to God, of only in name. They only serve Jesus in name. Glory to God. The church was impure. The church has sold out to Satan. It was wed the world. They got married to the world, as long as sin's been judged by Christ and stripped of any power or any spiritual influence. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. That was Pergamos was, glory to God. And that's why the Lord identified himself as the one with the sword. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine serving God for 25 years and, glory to God, all of a sudden you just got to the point where you don't read no more, you don't pray no more, you don't fast no more, and so all that stuff starts leaving out of you. And what happens is, glory to God, you begin to get engulfed in and liking to hear cussing. You like to be, glory to God, in the midst of all the crooked stuff. Glory to God. So we have to be careful how the enemy swoops us back in, glory to God, to the paganism of our old life, or if I call it Egypt, going back to Egypt. And glory to God, can I talk to us this morning? My God, I say thank you, Jesus. I'm not a perfect one, praise God, that caught up on Santa, but God has called me to preach the word of God. He has called me, amen, praise God, that of Osiah. He has called me to die on the inside. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. He has called us, amen, glory to God. When he calls pastors, he calls us, glory to God, to purify our minds, to fire out of the fire. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. That is our call, and that's why the judgment, glory to God, we have to be careful, amen, of even accepting who God calls us to be, because we are more accountable than the world. Now, secondly, we look from here, the city itself. What was the city like? But just to give you a bit of a particular city is less than 100 miles from Ephesus, and then Smyrna would be about a halfway if we were moving forward. Amen. Praise God. And that's what we are told. The route of these letters follow the route. Amen. Praise God. That will be taken to deliver them. Ephesus, starting point. Smyrna next, and after that, here comes Pergamos. And glory to God. By the time John penned this letter, it had been the capital of Roman province of Asia Minor back then. Praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost. It was important religious center where the pagan cult worshiped God of drunkenness. There was many gods, and glory to God, even the God of Zeus, they called it. All these things were there. The worship of Roman Empire was very big. In fact, that was the first city of the ancient Roman world built a temple to Caesar. Remember that? It's because then the capital of Caesar worshiped, the city which was more given over to that than any other city in ancient Roman territory. And I want you to look at the Roman territory as a place, amen, glory to God. Now let us bring it to layman terms. Where do I live? What are they worshiping? My God, I say thank you, Jesus. What is covering over my city? What kind of worship is over my city? Come on, somebody. Glory to God. They had developed, along with Caesar, worship, of course, all those other pagan forms of worship. And as long as you worship Caesar, you can worship anybody else. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. What made it a tough for Christians was they didn't worship Caesar at all. They worshiped Christ and him alone and refused on the day, any one day of the year when they had to burn incense to Caesar to do it. My God, they didn't want to do it, and therefore lost their citizen right and lost their lives in some cases. That would have been intensified in Pergamos because it was the capital city for Caesar worship. And probably it was required more than just one day a year in the city. They had to go worship Caesar. Who is Caesar? Guess what? Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give me what belongs to me, because Caesar has his own stuff. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. What is Caesar? Caesar is the world. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. And the city of Pergamos also was a large university. Glory to God. They had a big old library. Glory to God. If you read about it a little bit more, they had the biggest library. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I tell you, why I'm doing this, praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost. It's causing me, glory to God, that it's moving out and papers are flipping. Glory to God. But God be glory. What about the church? We move from city to the church. How did it start? Well, again, we don't know how, and we don't know. We do know, according to Acts 16, that Paul passes through the area, the city, Pergamos, was a religious and a region of Asia Minor called Mysia in the Bible, in Acts 16 and 8. It says Paul passed through there. Rather, in passing through there, he effected some gospel ministry, which brought some people to Christ in the city of Pergamos. God used Paul in a mighty way. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine going into a city? Glory to God. Paul had boldness. He went to the city, amen, praise God, that worship, amen, glory to God, the pagan gods, even to the point, glory to God, they had the God of healing. And let me just, I'm just going to touch base on it just a little bit, because I did a whole study on it. But anyway, they had a God of healing us also, glory to God. And this God of healing, amen, praise God, they would tell you, you to go into the sanctuary, what they call the sanctuary, and if you needed a healing, it was full of snakes. Glory to God. But they didn't say they was venomous snakes. They were snakes. And you had to lay there all night long just to get healed. Can you imagine, praise God, going to a place so demonic like that? Glory to God. If you go in there, you can get healed because they serve this God and this God and this God. And their God of healing, where snakes will crawl around you all night long, crawl across you all night long. I know somebody probably twitched right now, praise God. And this is what they did, amen, in this place. This is where they got even the medical sign that they use today with the snake around it. See, you got to do a little bit more study. I can't go through the whole thing right now. Paul, passing through the city of Pergamos, was probably on, they call maybe a toll road. You know how they go past the toll. The Roman tolls rode through Isaiah, and Paul perhaps went through it. Whether or not he had ministry there, we don't know, because it doesn't tell us that Paul was there to do ministry. We see that he got some saved, but not to stay there. There's nothing in the book of Acts that tells us that he founded the church there. The best understanding will come from Acts 19 to 10, because in there, you remember that the apostle Paul had this wonderful ministry in the city of Ephesus, and it was so powerful and so far-reaching that in verse 10 says that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So at some point during the time of the 3 years ministering in Ephesus, the word was bouncing out to different ones. People was getting saved. People were traveling and moving. Christian was going up and down the north to these various cities and taking the gospel. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. In the midst of a dark place, and it was echoing through Asia Minor, glory to God, during the period of time, no doubt the church at Pergamos was founded, but it was in a very, very pagan atmosphere, completely perverse to Christian testimony. In the middle of that was situated a little church, come on somebody, to glory to God, which Christ addressed the letter. In fact, in verse 13, you will know that he says, I know where you dwell. Carolyn, I know where you dwell. Excuse me. And glory to God. But he was talking to them. He says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Operation all over the world, people of God. But God's throne there. That's quite an amazing statement. And make no mistake, glory to God, Grumo Santo, Holy Ghost. His throne, praise God, Yekorobo Santa. If we look at where his operation is, he's there, amen. Hell is a place of his incarnation, and this is a place of his operation where he's at. Glory to God. His power was unleashed from this city, and some in the Pergamos church had fallen victim to Satan and became thoroughly engulfed, enmeshed, glory to God, entangled, and even married to the world. Frankly, no persecution, but this kind of compromise is the fastest way to destroy the church life and testimony. How does he, glory to God, his throne is there. Glory to God. So now his throne. Church, amen, praise God. Yes, Corobos and the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at it a little more closely at a better way to see, amen. There's some good to say. He says to them in verse 13, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. They exist at the headquarters of Satan, opposition, amen, praise God. Now people say, well, how would you interpret that? Oh, my God. Well, I would just interpret the way it's written. Obviously, established the center of his operation there.
Now, I don't know why, but it was the headquarters for his authority. You must see that he says here where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, a mark of permanent residence. Satanic power was manifest right out of that city. Now, in Smyrna, they had the synagogue of Satan. Hear me, people of God. In Smyrna, they had the synagogue of Satan. We know that back then in verse 9, but here is the very throne of Satan. And the synagogue of Satan, I might say and remark, was perverted Judaism. The throne of Satan was this Gentile base of false religion. And so Satan had set up his enterprise there. And this little church was feeling the heat of it. And it was in some way coming together to it. Father, we know that this church was without any particular apostolic ministry. We don't have the records that they had been exposed to any powerful leadership, that they had been exposed to any great solid teaching. But as I've said before, true faith is fragile, people of God. Only false faith is. And they were standing against it, some of them, however, who had attached themselves to the church were being sucked into the world. They beat the enemy on his own ground. And it was not easy, but they would succeed. Oh, come on. The true church, because you remember the words of Jesus, I will build my church, oh, Holy Ghost, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church, and the throne of Satan will not prevail against it. There was a true church here. There was a great church. There was a real church there, a saved church, waging an atmosphere, come on, uncompromising war right at the throne of Satan. They were doing well enough to be commended. I know where you dwell, he said, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith. They were true. I will say it again, true faith, it comes together. It is indestructible. It survives everything, even the onslaughts of hell. Now, just what is Satan's throne? What are we talking about? What can he mean here? Well, it could refer to the emperor worship, which was set up there, the worship of Caesar, which then flows out through the whole Roman Empire, the first city to build a temple to Caesar. It could refer to the magnificent altar of Zeus. Zeus was sort of a head of the a phantom and supreme. Come on, my God. In the middle of all that, in the middle of the powerful work of Satan was a little church. And I love this. He says, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith. That's the commendation. You hold fast my name. My name always means who I am, person and work. In other words, you have been faithful to me. He's talking about personal faithfulness to him. Are we faithful to him in the midst of a crooked generation? And then he says, you did not deny my faith. You did not deny my truth. my gospel, the message of salvation by faith. You didn't deny me. You never denied who I was. And you never denied your faith in the gospel, my truth. You never deviated from your theology. And you never deviated from your fidelity. You believed the truth and you sustained that and believed faithfully. You stayed true. You didn't compromise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine, praise God, this is coming to me. I'm trying to get to the word, but we have to be careful, even the people that's close to us, that's trying to make us compromise what we know to be true. Be careful, Masato Robos and Elamasia, because we don't know who Satan sends to pull us back from what God has for us. There's blessings ahead of us, my God. Can God call you faithful? Can God call you the one, amen, praise God, pick you out to call you faithful? The courage of their faith is evident. They stood boldly for Christ. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. They weren't ashamed of his testimony, even in the place where Satan's throne is. It wasn't easy, because back in verse 13, you hold fast. You held fast my name. You hold it right now, present tense. You have not denied my faith. You don't deny it now, even in the days of Antipas was witness, my witness. He said, my faithful one who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Antipas, we don't know who he was. Probably their pastor, one of their leaders, my witness, my martyr, my faithful one. Notice that my, would you, my name, my faith, my witness, my faithful one. Christianity is so personal, people of God. It is so personal. You didn't deny my name. You didn't deny my faith. That's your commitment to me. And then there is my witness, Antipas, my faithful one. That's my commitment to him. I belong to you, and you don't deny it. You belong to me, and I don't deny either. I'm yours, and yours mine. He identifies as Antipas only as my witness, my martyrs. And that word went through an interesting thing. Basically means a witness, a martyr, but it came to be a martyr. Because so many of the witnesses who were faithful to Christ had died back then. It was so hard to serve the Lord Jesus Christ back then. Eventually came into a place of martyr. And here is a person who is right in transition. A witness becomes a martyr because the witness pays the price. You were faithful. You never denied my faith. Even in the days, he says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fascinating. He was burned, people of God. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. He was burned. Amen. Praise God for serving the Lord Jesus. See, we God is showing me that we are so free to serve him. We don't have to go through what they went through. But even in the midst of that, they went through to get the word of God. They went through, glory to God, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got it so easy. We are so spoiled here, glory to God, that we don't even want to read the word sometimes. We don't even want to fast sometimes. We don't even want to give our time sometimes. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, but they had a hard time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because there where Satan's throne was, it happened among them. He said, I watched my faithful one. I watched the witness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He did not deviate from deny me. Faithfulness of the little church should be a challenge to all of us today. The pastor paid the supreme price for not compromising. Some of us aren't willing to sacrifice our popularity or our wrong desires for the sake of staying separated from the world. You have to ask, what in the world has happened to our sense of value? Here, a man who rather died than compromise, who readily compromised rather than change the simplest pattern of even our selfish lives sometimes. So Pergamus, for the most part, was faithful. Then filthy comes, the condemnation. That is sad, the condemnation. But in verse 14 it says, but I have a few things against you. I just hate to read that, so much good, so many faithful, but I have this against you because you have there some. He says some. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. He says some. I have some who would hold the teaching of Balaam. Anybody know the teaching of Balaam? Balaam. In verse 15, you also have some who in the same way holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans. What is he saying? This is what I have against you. You have these people there who believe these false things, and you are allowing it. You're not denying and dealing with it. See, this is what God deals with us, because we won't deal with certain things. We just let people say what they want to say, and they don't get away with it, knowing that it's wrong. And that's what God calls compromising. We know it's wrong, and we would rather let them do it because we are scared that they'll walk away or they will not befriend us. But in Christ, if you stand up for the Lord, you're really going to really walk by yourself most of the time because you believe in the truth. You're not dealing with it, he said. You're allowing them to feel comfortable. To get you to namely because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. You have them. It's your responsibility. You're not putting them out of the church. People say, oh, don't put them out of the church. But if they're bringing havoc in the church, you have to put them out. Let them go where they're going because they're on assignment from Satan. Oh, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You're not dealing with it. It wasn't a question of their denying the Lord's name. They wouldn't do that. It wasn't a question of them denying the faith. They wouldn't do that. It was a question of being soft and tolerant to error. There are some in the church who have wed the world, and you're allowing them to feel comfortable in their sin. Come on, somebody, give God the glory. Hallelujah. This word right here was something, and he directs himself to these heresies. One identifies the Old Testament carrot, and the other one identifies the New Testament carrot. Anyway, by the name of Nicholas, he says, you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. We don't have time to go back, but you can take the Bible and go back and read Numbers 22, 23, 24, and 25. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you feel the whole story of this character by the name of Balaam. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam. Rather than go into the whole thing, the Lord directs himself at exactly what he has in mind. What was the problem with Balaam? What the doctrine of Balaam or his teaching? Who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel? He was the one that wanted to put a stumbling block in front of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immortality. Oh, yes, Holy Ghost, immortality. Balaam was a prophet for hire. Hear me. Oh, glory to God. He was a prophet for hire. Balak, king of Moab, wanted to get rid of Israel. The Moabites and the Israelites were always after each other. They didn't like each other. Balak wanted to get rid of Israel, so he went to Balaam, who was a, I call him, a prostitute prophet, and could be brought. And he paid him to curse Israel, just like somebody would tell somebody to pay them to curse your life. He felt that Balaam would curse Israel. He had such a prophetic power that Israel would be under a curse. Three times Balaam tried to do it. Every time he tried to do it, he failed. So he got another plan. If he couldn't curse them, he'll earn his money another way. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? He corrupted them. So what did he do? He devised a plot. His plot went like this. The Moabite women will move in among the Israelite men. And the Moabite women will sexually seduce the Israelite men. Some enter marriage where God told them not to marry. And once they intermarry, the pagan woman and glory to God, and the Christian man married, glory to God. And once they, I just want to bring it together, and once they intermarry, it will pull them into all the idolatry life of Moab. That's why God always said, be careful who we connect ourselves with. The life of Moab could be reduced to a simple statement. It could be described as fornication and idolatrous feast. It could be described as a gluttonous or lasciviousness. It could be described as debauchery and prostitution. And so Balaam tried to work his plot and have the woman of Moab seduce the men of Israel into intermarriage, and then he could bring Israel into blasphemy, union with Satan and idols and fornication. And that would debase Israel, bring them down. It would destroy their power. Anytime we get connected with something that will bring us down, it destroys your power. You want to know something? It worked. The doctrine of Balaam is teaching that the people of God can intermarry with the heathen and thus will become what the heathens are. They were some people in the church, come on, I want to talk to us, saying it's okay to intermarry, intermingle with the pagan system. It's okay. We're not, and we are not to be separated. We are to be aliens. We to intermarry with unbelievers. We're to get involved in life around us, mixing the old pattern, the old moral, the lack of, the old idolatry with the new Christianity. Of course, our Lord had called a clean break, but always there are the seducers. Always there are those who come in and want to get God's people to break from the separation and mingle with the world, married to the world. Can I call it married to the world? My God, I say thank you, Jesus. God absolutely condemns such union in Israel, and here the Lord Jesus condemns such a union in Pergamos. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 6 where Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Balaam? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This was going on. But here there were some people in the church saying, you can be a Christian and worship idols. You can be a Christian and commit fornication with the heathen priestess at the temple or the priest. You can go into debauchery and orgies and festivals and feasts and still come here to pay homage with Jesus. You can do that tonight and come to church the next day. This is what was going on. They were teaching that, and that was worse. The saints were doing nothing about it, absolutely nothing. They was compromising. They didn't say nothing. They allowed them to go to the whatever they went through. Praise God. They're Satan things, and they allowed them to come to church. And God, Jesus got mad at them. James 4 says, friendship with the world is enemy with God. There can be no compromise. There can be no intermarriage with the unbeliever. But you have some there that they are advocating it, and they're teaching it, and you're not stopping them. This is what's going on in the church at that church. And so, people are eating things that they sacrifice to idols and committing acts of immorality. Back at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, the apostle sent out a message to the church and said, do not eat things offered to idols. It sucks you back into idolatry. It may be an abuse of your Christian freedom. It makes weaker brothers to stumble. It conjures up the old life pattern. He was trying to tell them because what they came out of. You go back to Leviticus, it will tell you what they did, and I don't have time to teach it all, praise God. The Council of Jerusalem also said stay away from immorality, and they were really mandating not the obvious private sexual sin. They just did what they wanted, but the public orgies that went on in the pagan life. Can you imagine at this time, praise God, the double Santa, Holy Ghost, all this is going on. Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. This issue was settled a long ago, having been discussed and mandated from the Council of Jerusalem, Acts 15, and still here are some decades later saying God tolerates this. This is not what God tolerates. Then there's another thing he has against them in verse 15. Thus you also have some who is in the same way holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans. This little phrase in the same way is important because the teaching of the Nicolaitans led some to say the same behavior. The Nicolaitans were comparable to those who were following Baalism. Some think this goes back to Nicholas, who was in Acts 6, was appointed as a deacon, but later defected because he fell away. So when he fell away, he wanted to pull everybody else into what he was doing. We can't verify a whole lot of things because it's not a thing that you can't find, but glory to God. But apparently this man, whoever he was, Nicholas, like Balaam, had advocated a mingled lifestyle, and he may have been kind of one of those one, praise God, hallelujah, to fall away, but someone who believed he had entered into some kind of ascended knowledge. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All this knowledge that God don't exist at all. You know how that got into the church. Amen. Praise God. And you have found pay. I can't think of his name right now. But he went to that same way, praise God, where he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden now he changed and I don't believe in hell and I don't believe in this. And he no doubt was a liberal king who believed that he could conduct yourself any way you wanted to. So this way God got angry in uncleanness, immorality, orgies, upon perverted understanding of God's grace, was an abuse of their freedom. And like today, who think they are free in Christ to behave themselves any way they want. Don't forget having experience. We have to be careful of all the things that we allow into our space. Here we find that the command, repent, he says, turn around and go the other way. This is a sin. He's not saying to them, now, folks, you just too loving. He says, repent. This is sin. And if you don't repent and do something about it, I am coming to you quickly. And when I get there, I'll make war against you. I'll make war against them with the sword of my mouth. If it has to be, I'll come and I will slice them up. This is Jesus. If you don't repent, you can't tolerate evil in any form. You can't allow it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, a little leaven, what it does, it leavens the whole lump. You allow that to fester and to grow. The church must be in constant judgment and teaching. There's no room for compromise. If we fail to exclude unbelievers from the fellowship of the body, we are in error. The church isn't designed for unbelievers to come and say whatever they want and be accepted the way they are. We got that all wrong. Hallelujah. What did the church, they say, oh, come as you are. Yes, that means that, you know, come on. That don't mean to bring your stuff into the church. It's designed for the saints to uphold truth and believers to come to hear the truth and hearing and be saved. And when you allow unbelievers to come in and take part and participate in the church, we're going to have people who live a life of Balaam lifestyle and the Nicolaitan lifestyle. And they mingle the church and their fornication in the church. And what happens is the church is no more, amen, praise God, is taken over by Satan. So I don't have time to keep going. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Well, we have to be careful how we compromise, what we allow in our space. We know that we're online today, but glory to God. God loves, glory to God, the unbelievers, but he don't want the unbelievers coming in to take over the church and allow the church to fester into something else. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. You can never suppress error by compromising. Yes, we want to reach out in love. Yes, but glory to God, glory to God. Yes, we want to bring in unbelievers and hear the truth of Christ and experience our love and experience our kindness and graciousness, but never, never give them the false security that they belong until they know Jesus Christ, with knowing it made manifest in our life. Compromise is serious. Christ says, if you don't stop, I'll make war against them and the sword in my mouth. That itself could be a reference back to Balaam, back to Numbers 22. It says the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hands. And you know what Balaam did. Smart guy. He bowed all the way down to the ground. The Lord pulled out the sword on Balaam, and the Lord will come with the sword against the compromising church. We, my son, the Holy Ghost, we have to judge error. You have to keep the church pure. Come on, somebody, my God, I say thank you, Jesus. We got to make sure that we are overcomers, that we don't allow people to come in us and make us to compromise the faith that God has put in us. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord, glory to God, is going to take his church back. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, we are overcomers. My God, the Holy Ghost. Look what he did to Balaam. My God, Balaam just got down on his feet. Glory to God, how my son got out off of his high horse and humbled himself. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. God wants to make a covenant with us. He wants to give us the hidden manna. He wants to build up our life. He wants the glory to God to protect us. He wants us, glory to God, not to be wandering in the wilderness. He wants us, amen, to have the heavenly bread. He wants us, glory to God, my secorobo, son, the Holy Ghost. He wants us to stay in the ark of safety. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to be bold in this hour. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we will overcome. become people of God. We will have a new name, glory to God, because he promised us, glory to God, a name which nobody knows. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we bless you, God, today. We bless you for your word today. We thank you, Lord God, my son, the Holy Ghost, to give us a greater understanding of you, Father, to give us a greater understanding, Father God, not to compromise what you have already taught us, God, in the name of Jesus, not to go back, amen, to the pagan way that we have came out. You have saved us for yourself. We shall be meet for the master's table. My God, I say thank you, Jesus. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not compromise, people of God. Hallelujah. I can go on with this lesson. Amen. Praise God. It was just so much, and I'm not even finished it, but I have to go to the next church. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That was a compromising church that allowed all the stuff to come into the church that they learned in the pagan world. Thank you, Lord. Don't allow. Amen. Praise God. I pray today for all of us that we will see the enemy afar off in the name of Jesus, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened in this season that we're in right now, that we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a pure heart, with a pure mind, and a pure soul in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been on the air with Apostle Carolyn McNeil this morning, Reign of Glory Revival Ministry. Amen. This is our Sunday morning service. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't forget, amen, on Thursday, let me get my breath, at 6 p.m., Pastor Ilona Waters will be on True Vine International Church at 6 p.m. Very, very great teaching, great preaching, and the word of the Lord coming from his throne room. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God for her. Amen. For her Thursday service at 6 p.m. So come on and tap on into the word of God. Amen. The word will bless us. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. And don't forget on this week, amen, I'm coming back, y'all, with the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday prayer time. God has been good. Amen. So I'll be get in touch with everyone and let them know, amen, the correct time, amen, that I can come on, and that way you can connect, amen, with the Lord Jesus Christ as we pray, amen. We want to stay on the prayer altar, amen, where God dwells, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, where the heavens open and the glory comes down, amen, glory to God, over our lives, that we will get supernatural breakthrough, supernatural healing, supernatural deliverance, and blessing our families and our loved ones, amen. Praise God. With that being said, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you all for the ones that has been a blessing to Reign of Global Revival Ministry, partners and the tithers and all the ones, amen, praise God, to keep the kingdom of God going. Thank you so much for being a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you, God. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We lift you up, Father. We ask you, Father God, to have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to move by your mighty power, God, in everyone's lives, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that we will, this word, glory to God, will come alive in our lives. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And just look at the church. Amen. Glory to God. And pray for the churches, Lord God, because we know that, Lord God, that the pastors, you have them in your hands, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that they will not turn away from the gospel, but and not error, God, but come to truth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them a spirit of boldness, Lord God, to preach the word of God, to teach the word of God, to bring forth the word of God, that lives will be saved and the harvest will be plenty, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, you said the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So I'm praying, God, for labors in the kingdom of God. Yes, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Someone, glory to God, that will bring truth to your kingdom, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, for all the ones that's laboring in your love, Father God, I pray for a special anointing upon them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Give them strength, God, to keep on going. Glory to God for you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that we live in a crooked generation, but Lord God, you're able. And you're able to bring that revival, God, that revival, God, that will bring souls to the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father God. Yes, Holy Ghost, for the revivalists that you're raising up in this time, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to bless your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I ask that you bless every household represented here, Father God, under the sound of my voice, God. I ask that you move by your mighty power, God. Breathe upon them, God, today. Bless their home. Bless their loved ones, God. Hallelujah, God. And anyone need a healing, God, I pray for supernatural healing, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you move by your Holy Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. I pray with thanksgiving in my heart, God, and I pray, God, I pray over the tithing. I pray over all the offerings, Father God. Let their barns never go dry, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will build them up, God. Hallelujah, God, to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Be blessing, amen, glory to God, to the people, God, that you desire them to be a blessing to, Father God. Hallelujah, God, that you will use us for your glory, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. My soul says amen today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Happy Sunday to all of you. I will leave you with a song. God bless you all. Happy Sunday and a week ahead. Amen. Thank you.